give you thanks for this beautiful day. We thank you for the sunshine. And I just want to thank you, Lord, that you're the creator, Lord. You're the one who made these things for us. I ask we not get distracted, Lord, even on a beautiful morning of thinking all the fun things we could do, but, Lord, that we'd be consumed with who you are and how good you are toward us. In Jesus' name, I ask that you would really just guide the reading of your word this morning and that it would prove fruitful in our lives, that it would accomplish what you send it forth to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so maybe you can turn to John chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I have a couple questions for you. So some of you know my daughter. She's going to go away next year to like a Bible school. It's kind of where they focus on discipleship on Thetis Island. And the students that are already enrolled there, they put them into a Facebook group so they can kind of get to know one another. There's a couple staff members involved in this Facebook. I don't even know how it all works on there. But it's kind of interesting because you don't know each other at all. And so they're getting to know one another in this virtual realm. And so you kind of know what they tell you. And so my thought was, how would you describe yourself to someone else? What kind of person are you? How would you describe yourself? That'd be interesting. How would we choose to describe ourselves to someone that's never seen you, never met you, and you have to tell them about yourself? Who are you? Who are you? How would you describe yourself? I think some of us wouldn't really want to. But it'd be interesting. How would you describe yourself? It might be easier for you to say, well, just ask my friend. Ask them about me. How would your friends describe you? What kind of person would they say you are? Anyways, if we look here in John chapter 5, we can see something here where Jesus talked about something just like this in verse 31. It says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true or it's not valid. It's not valid. That's kind of interesting. What about you and I? Is our witness of ourselves valid? Is our testimony of who we are valid? Is it true? It'd be interesting. I think sometimes there'd be a lot of people that might actually have a misunderstanding of who they are. We sometimes have a misperception of who we are. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Verse 32, it says something. It says, there is another who bears witness of me. This is Jesus speaking. And I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. So we know, Jesus said, what John has spoken of me is true. But yet, it's interesting. Who is John? John, it says that of all the people born among women at that time, it said that he was the greatest. Can you imagine if you had the most godly person on earth say something and give a testimony of you that was a good, true testimony? That'd probably feel pretty good. And yet, it's kind of interesting. If we keep reading here, it says, verse 34, yet I do not receive testimony from men. That's what Jesus said. Yet I don't receive testimony from men. And I think that might be good for us as well, to not be so concerned what even other people think about us, or even a really godly person, what they might say about us. Sometimes in my workplace, going through my day, I say, oh, that's a really good kid. Ah, he's a really kind kid. And I say that too about people. But yet, people might say even that about me. Oh, he's a really good guy. Oh, should I think really, oh, that's great. So-and-so thinks highly of me. I'm not sure that we should. It says, Jesus said, yet I do not receive testimony from men. Because even the most godly person on earth, at that time, John was he was the greatest at that time. And yet, he didn't know Jesus' thoughts. He didn't know his motives. He didn't know the inner working. In the same way, people around us, they don't really know what's going on inside here. And so their testimony of us isn't really that important. We can fool a lot of people. Verse 34, it says, Jesus said, "But I say these things that you may be saved." Interesting. He says these things so that we may be saved. I think he wants us to be saved from being concerned what other people think about us. He doesn't want us to esteem how other people perceive us or regard us. Like, am I really seeking for them to think of me a certain way? My whole mindset is set on the wrong things. He said this so that we'd be saved. He doesn't want us to be so concerned about my own thoughts of myself or the thoughts of others about me. Why is that? Because even others, their assessment of who I am is based on about 10% compared to who I really am. What's going on the inside? You can do the total right thing, and the motives can be totally corrupt. What value is it in light of eternity? It's a zero. We can deceive people. Verse 35. It says, "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, and the Father has sent me." I think he's saying, you know what? My very life is filled with good fruit. And it's of more value than what somebody else says about me. I'm living a godly life. Verse 37 says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me." Now that's what matters. The Father testified of who Jesus was. So my question is this: what does the Father say about me? It's easy to have everything put together in front of people to a degree. We can deceive people. We can even be deceived ourselves in giving ourselves a pretty high assessment. I'm a pretty good guy. I've done this. I don't do that. And we can have a pretty high assessment of ourselves. But what really matters is to be saved from all of that. We need to have our mind fixed upon this. What has the Father testified of you and I? That is what matters. It says, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent you do not believe." He's saying, look at you don't believe me. He sent me and you don't believe me. You have the word of God and yet you don't believe me. Isn't that crazy? They had the law and the prophets at that time. They had it. And they didn't really believe them. Because if they believed the law and the prophets, they would have seen Jesus for who he really was. "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life." How many of us read the scriptures almost daily? There'd be kids in this room who read the scriptures almost daily. I can remember when I grew up, I was very disciplined. I'd get up and I'd have my short devotions each morning. Chick, chick, ching, I got it done. Off to the next thing. Is it good to do that? Yes. But why was I doing it? Just because I was kind of told I had to. Is it good to do it? Yeah, it was good instruction. I should do it. But am I doing it just to get it out of the way? Or do I want to see who Jesus is? Am I reading his word to say, who is Jesus? this Christ. I mean, when I watched this, is amazing. I was encouraged when I watched those little clips. Jesus is alive. He's alive today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, sitting there to make intercession for me and for you. Who is he? When we read his word, we don't want to come at it just with an intellectual approach. We can understand a lot of things. There's a lot of PhDs that understand a lot of natural things about the Bible. We want to come to see who Jesus is. We want to gain wisdom. Wisdom entails revelation of who he is. Lord, give me wisdom when I read your word this morning. But wisdom from above. Let me see who you are. And then when we see that, we then need to do something. We go to the scriptures. We get a glimpse of who he is. And then what are we going to do? We need to then go and seek him and say, Lord, let that glory that I see of Jesus in his word, I see what Jesus did. I see how he acted. I see his character. And say, God, make me like that. Form that character in me. This is so important. Verse 41, it says here, I do not receive honor from men. So I said, I don't receive glory from men. It doesn't matter what men say about me. That's what Jesus is saying. Is that true for you and me? How many of us are concerned about what others think about us? All of us have been at one point, guaranteed. The question is, what about today? Hopefully, it's decreasing, and hopefully it's going to work its way to zero. Right? When we're concerned what other people think to us, it's a snare to us, a great snare. Look what it says. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come from my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. It says, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Look it. He's saying you read the Bible every day. You search the scriptures. And yet, you don't really believe. And the reason is because you're concerned about the honor, the praise, and the glory that come from men. Are we concerned what other people think about us? It's hindering our faith in God. It's a major problem. These people, they had God's word. They had the law and the prophets. Right? They could have been ready. Right? they even heard the testimony of John the Baptist. But they didn't know who Jesus was. He's talking to the Pharisees. They had all that. Why? Because they were concerned about getting honor and praise from men. How can you believe, it says. How can you believe? Because you're concerned what people think about you. It hinders faith. Looking and being concerned what other people think about you hinders faith. You're concerned when that still small voice speaks to you. Oh, yeah, but what are they going to think if I do that? And all of a sudden, that voice is hard to hear. You're more concerned what someone else is going to think. I read this. This is for me. Lord, what am I concerned about? What are the things I'm valuing? There's one thing of great importance, and that is, what does he think about me? What does God think about us individually, whether we're 45, 65, or whether we're 10 or 12, what does God think about us? Are we seeking to please him? This has to be our goal. It has to be our aim. If we're concerned what other people think about us, it's going to hinder us tremendously trying to walk this spiritual walk. It gets in our way. It's going to cause us not to be able to hear his voice very well. We're not going to have a lot of faith. What is the number one most important thing? It's like this great treasure is our faith. And yet, how can you believe if you're concerned what other people think about you? It's going to hinder your faith. Without faith, you cannot please God. When we're starting to be concerned what other people think, it's a tremendous snare. It's a snare. What is a snare? A snare is a little trap that's set there. You come back and look at it every 12 hours or so, and oh, it got one. There's a dead rabbit. The snare got it. Well, that's you and me. We're dead. If we're concerned with other people, think about us. We need to be freed from that. It's a snare. That was the verse. It was fresh this week, verse 44. Right? How can you believe, right, if you're concerned about other people giving you praise, honor, and glory? Verse 45 says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. These people said they trusted in the law, in Moses. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Look what he's saying. Look at you guys, you had the law and the prophets. You say you trust in what Moses wrote, and yet if you really believe what Moses wrote, you would believe me because he wrote all about me. They didn't have any understanding. They had no spiritual wisdom. They didn't understand what was written in the law and the prophets. They clung to them as if somehow that was, hey, we got the law. We got the writings of Moses. And yet, they didn't believe in Christ. They didn't believe what was written. Verse 47, I'm going to read it again. It says, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Interesting. Right? If we don't actually really value God's word and take it to heart, it's going to hinder us essentially trusting in Jesus, believing the words of Christ. They go hand in hand. It's so important. I talked to my kids probably about 3 weeks ago, and I challenged them. I said, you know what? Don't get focused on the kids because it applies to the adults. That's coming. It's easy to see it in our kids. But I thought, man, it's amazing. When you're with your friends, you guys can talk about the right apparel on the outside. I hear it talked about all the time. I said, why? Why does it matter? It's the outside. There's a verse, 1 Peter 3, and it's addressed to women. It says, don't be worried merely with the outward adornment, but be concerned about the inside. Right? For the gentle and quiet spirit is precious in God's sight. Is that just for women? It's definitely addressed to women, but it's for all of us. Are we concerned about what people see on the outside? Right? So for my kids, it might be their shoes or their shirt or what brand. But for me, it doesn't matter what vehicle I drive. When people ask me what I do for work, does it matter what I say? Is it harder to say one job over another or a certain position over another? What am I concerned about? I'm concerned what people think. There's a problem. It's going to hinder me spiritually if I care what people think. I need to be 100% focused on what does God think. And you know what? If I'm 100% what God thinks, well, then you know what? Of course, I'm going to be concerned about my Christian testimony before men. And so then I'm going to want to walk and speak in such a way as to be a good testimony of Christ for others. Absolutely. So I don't want to over tilt the balance. You understand what I'm saying? But I think there's two things here that we need to be careful of. And that is, it's really difficult to have faith if we don't believe his word. That's what it says. Right down there, 46 and 47. And if we're seeking the approval of others. That's what it says in verse 44. Those two things are going to hinder us. And so I would encourage us to really seek to be free from this being concerned what other people think about us. If we can be free from that, it's going to cause faith in our hearts to spring up because we're going to be concerned about one thing, what he thinks. In the different decisions that come our way, we're not just to approach it in a natural, intellectual way, but we're going to say, Lord, what is your will? This seems like the right decision, but Lord, what's your will? I need to hear from you. I want to please you in the midst of even all these natural decisions. Lord, I want to please you. And so that would be my challenge to us, is that we would be willing to be really honest and say, Lord, show me, is there anybody that I'm concerned what they think about me, my friends, family members, people at church, or I want them to think of me a certain way, me than different people at work. If that's the case, Lord, I'm so missing the point. What do you think about me, Lord? That's what matters. And I really think if we ask him to show us, we can then ask him to cleanse us of that desiring men's approval and to replace that with a deep desire to gain his approval. Jesus said he wanted us to be saved from our own assessment of who we are and from the assessment of people. But he was really concerned what his father had to say about him. That's the testimony that matters. And when we stand before him, if that's our goal and our aim now, we're going to have no regret when we stand before him that day. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were about my business. Just like Jesus was. He didn't speak on his own authority. He didn't do his own works. He did his father's work. He was always concerned about what the father would think. He would always be concerned what the father would think. Anyways, I'll end off there.